Chapter 10. Sunday was rainy and cold. The chilly wind from the night before brought in a thick, dark blanket of clouds. By midday, the sky looked like doom, as if it had never been blue and never would be blue again. Darcy could not remember a time in her life when she had been so depressed, except for when her father had left. But even then, there was anger mixed with grief. Now, there was only sorrow and relentless fear. She couldn't find it within herself to blame Jamie for what she'd done. Jamie was hurt, and in her own mind, it must have seemed there was nothing to do but try to outrun the pain. Darcy felt so helpless. She felt as if she was staring through a solid glass wall and watching her sister drown in a distant sea. By midday, the rain had stopped, and the temperature fell rapidly. Darcy shuddered at the cold, praying Jamie was somewhere warm and safe. Mom reluctantly left for work at 3 o'clock, instructing Darcy to call if she heard anything about Jamie. "I'll try and leave early, baby, but I'm afraid I'll lose my job if I call out sick," she explained as she went out the door. Just after dinner, the sky began to clear, and the moon broke free of the clouds. Darcy watched it slowly rise and begin to cast its ghostly light through the window of the apartment. It had been 2 days since she had seen Jamie, and with each passing second, she grew more nervous.
"Jamie?" Grandma called from her bedroom.
"Jamie's not here, Grandma. It's me, Darcy," she said, sitting next to her grandmother.
"Did Jamie tell you about the nice time we had in the mountains?"
Grandma asked. Darcy glanced at her grandmother. "No, Grandma," Darcy said softly.
"Oh, what a time we had. Just the two of us. We went to the mountains and ate fried fish and listened to the wind in the trees. You should have been there. She was so happy. She laughed and laughed," Grandma recalled.
Darcy nodded, and Grandma's voice rambled on, describing adventures that had happened many years ago as if they had happened yesterday. It gave Grandma joy to imagine happier days, so Darcy never had the heart to bring her back to reality.
"We walked to the spot where it looks like somebody just took the trees and twisted them. Jamie said maybe the moon monster did it," Grandma laughed.
Darcy glanced at her watch. It was 9 o'clock, and there was still no word from Jamie, the police, or Mom. Frustrated, Darcy got up and helped Grandma to the bathroom and then into bed. Grandma was still smiling just before she went to sleep.
"You know what Jamie said to me yesterday when we were hiking in the mountains?" Grandma asked in a confidential whisper.
"What, Grandma?" Darcy asked.
"She said, 'I'm so happy, Grandma. I'm so happy I feel safer here than anywhere in the whole world.'"
After Grandma went to sleep, Darcy walked through the silent apartment, and then suddenly a wild thought came to her. What if Jamie had not gone downtown at all? What if she had gone to the mountain she loved so much? Maybe there was some strange truth in Grandma's dream. Darcy ran to the phone and called Tara. "I need a big favor. Can you and Cooper come over right away? You could stay with Grandma while Cooper drives me to the mountains. I think that's where Jamie may be."
"Sure, just hold on, girl," Tara said.
Darcy hung up and just stared at the phone. Then, with her hands trembling, she picked up the phone and called her father. "We're leaving for the hiking trail in the mountains to look for Jamie," she told him.
"I'll be right there," he said.
Within 15 minutes, Cooper's pickup truck and the silver Toyota appeared. Leaving Tara with Grandma, Darcy, her father, and Cooper headed for the mountains. "It may just be a wild goose chase, but Grandma was talking about the mountains just now and how Jamie was so happy there. I think maybe she'd go to the last place where she truly felt happy," Darcy explained.
"This ain't no kind of weather for a little girl to be in the mountains in jeans and a t-shirt," Cooper said ominously.
Carl Will said nothing, but his heavy breathing hissed like the wind in the cab of the truck. Just as they reached the mountains, a deer leaped in front of them. Cooper slowed and the animal raced back into the woods. The Wills family had come here so many times. Darcy thought she remembered every twist and turn. But now, in the darkness, with so much time passed, it looked strange and unfamiliar.
She turned to her father and asked in a frightened voice, "Do you remember where we used to hike?"
"About a half a mile up this road," he said.
Then, as they made a turn, he pointed,
"Right there."
Cooper parked, and the three of them jumped out of the truck. The harsh cold made Darcy shiver. There were no signs of people anywhere, not on such a night.
"Jamie!"
Darcy screamed, pacing around where they used to chase squirrels through the pines and cedars. The only response was the lonely cry of a coyote from the hills below. Darcy and Cooper walked around yelling Jamie's name, but the dark, cold forest offered them only silence. Tears filled Darcy's eyes.
"I was so sure we'd find her here."
Carl Wills was walking around shouting with them too, but then he stopped. A strange, almost manic look entered his dark eyes. He spun around with surprising grace for such a big man and began scrambling up a nearby slope. He stumbled, dropped to his knees, got up and continued on, running, crawling. Darcy stared after him, thinking for a moment that the burden of grief and guilt had destroyed him, and he was running, howling, into the wilderness to die.
"The man don't look good," Cooper said.
But before Darcy and Cooper could follow him, Carl Wills let out a loud shout.
"Jamie!"
And then, there he was, staggering back down the slope, the cold, wet, unconscious girl in his arms. Jamie's limp arms drooped as if she were more dead than alive.
"She was by the cedar,"
Darcy's father said between choking sobs.
"She remembered our tree and she was huddled there. It was where I made her a princess."
Carl Will scrambled into the front seat of the pickup with Jamie. They covered her with all their coats and Cooper sped back down the mountain to the hospital. Jamie seemed lifeless, but she had a pulse. As she warmed, almost at the hospital, Jamie mumbled,
"I got lost. I walked for miles, and then Grandma came. Grandma came and I told her I was happier here than anywhere in the world."
They rushed Jamie to the emergency room where Mom worked. The doctor said another night in the cold mountains would have led to hypothermia, dangerously low body temperature, and maybe even death. When Darcy and her father were allowed to see Jamie in the small ER room, Mom was beside her.
"Jamie's a lucky child,"
Mom sobbed, her eyes red from crying.
"Praise the Lord, my baby is going to be all right."
Darcy was alone with Jamie for a few minutes then. Mom had gone downstairs for a cup of coffee, and Carl Wills had slipped away when he knew Jamie was out of danger.
"Jamie, Dad was the one who found you by the giant tree," Darcy whispered.
"Really?"
Jamie's eyes filled up.
"I'm sorry I ran off like that. I'm sorry I worried everybody."
Darcy leaned over, kissed her sister, and then joined Cooper in the waiting room. It was time to go home and let Jamie rest. In the morning, Mom would bring Jamie home with her.
"I need a soda or something," Cooper said. "Let's go to the cafeteria for a second."
As Darcy walked with Cooper, she had a pang of regret about her father. She wished she had said something to him about how good it was that he remembered just where the giant cedar was. That counted for something, didn't it? If after all this time he remembered a little thing like that, then maybe he hadn't put his family completely out of his heart. As Darcy and Cooper entered the cafeteria, Darcy saw them, two people in a far corner, heads bent, talking. They both looked weary and aged beyond their years. Darcy's mother was weeping softly. When Darcy's father reached out and gently cradled Mom's cheek in his hand, Mom didn't pull away. She didn't smile or embrace him or anything like that, but she didn't pull away either. Watching them, Darcy remembered Tara's words.
"Sometimes good people do rotten things, then they realize the mistakes they've made and turn their lives around. You can't give up on people. God don't give up on us no matter what we do. So where we get off giving up on each other?"
Darcy nodded and left her parents alone. Her world seemed to have shifted over the past few days. Her sister was safe, and 3 new loyal friends had come into her life unexpectedly when she needed them most. Walking out into the cold darkness with Cooper, Darcy smiled to herself. Something new was thundering in her soul. It felt like hope.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluefoot series of books, Lost and Found, written by Anne Schraff and read by Shayna Walker. This audiobook was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.